two different ones for you to look for.
Good morning, Rabbi Sai, and our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla. Ishtav refuah shlema, b'korov, b'soy shach hayli Yisrael. So we discussed already last week that there is a fundamental difference between the issa of boso v'yayin in the 9 days and the issa of all the other dine avelus, like not washing, not having a haircut, etc., etc. And the fundamental difference was that the avelus is there in order to for us to be sad and to reminisce about the Beis Hamikdash. The boso v'yayin is a specific separate issa, because we are lamenting the fact that there is no longer a korban tomid, and there are no longer any korbonos, and there are no nesachim, and therefore there's a therefore the halachas are slightly different. They're not necessarily identical, and where they diverge is this morning. Because in Siman Tov Kuf Nun Ches, the what's called the Mechaber says that on the day after. On the day after, Chazal say that the Beis Hamikdash was still burning for the whole of the day, the 10th of Av. In other words, today is still Tisha B'Av, if you like. It's the 10th of Av, but it's still we still have the problem that the commemoration that the Beis Hamikdash was burning. But Chazal say that it was too much for them to impose on us a 2-day Ta'anis, and therefore they decided, Aschalta de Puranuso, that the beginning, the time when the Beis Hamikdash was actually set alight, that's the beginning of the burning, so we fixed the tarnis on the 9th. But really today is also a sad day. Therefore there should be an overlap from Tisha B'Av to Asiri B'Av. Yeah, there should be an overlap of Avelus. Yeah, so
I thought it was more intense, even the fire on the 10th.
Yes, correct. Yeah, I think that's true. That the fire on Ron is just saying that I think Chazal say that the main fire took place actually on Asiri, but nevertheless Chazal fixed the Tanis on the first day at the beginning. So the therefore now the Mechaber says in Tov Kuf Nun Ches, therefore because of that the Beit Hamikdash was burning, and therefore we have no Korbanos and we have no Nesochim. Therefore the Mechaber says that on the 10th of Av, one should continue with the Avelus in relation to Boso V'Yayin. Now, on the 10th of Av, we don't eat Boso, we don't eat Yayin, except for this mitzvah. Basically, for us, it will be the same as the 9 days, and for the Mechaber, it will be the same as the Shavuah Shechal Boy. Now, there's an Issa Boso V'Yayin. But he doesn't say anything about all the other Dine Avelus. He doesn't mention at all that one should continue with any of the other Avelus. In other words, last night could one already have a haircut? Yeah, last night, would it be possible last night already to have a proper bath, for instance, a full bath, not like you would have in the middle of the 9 days? So therefore, the Bi Halacha discusses this, and he brings a Mama Mordechai, who says that the Ein Issa Berleil Uviyoyim Asiri Ela Bebosa V'Yayin V'loi B'chol Advarim Anoigim B'Yimei Hayomim. Yeah? So he says, B'tes Hayomim. He says that the Isurim that are Noiheg today, let's say today till Chatzos, we generally keep until Chatzos. We don't keep the full day, because we say Mikzas Hayom Kekuloi. Once we get to Chatzos, it's like Kavyochol, it's enough. Although logically, the Isurim should continue till tonight.
Why not first thing
in the morning? Exactly. Yeah. If it was mixed same kukuloi strictly, then it would already be in the morning. You just keep a little bit of the morning and then the rest of the day, like in other things that we do mixed same kukuloi. But I'm not quite sure where this inyan of chatzos came from. Yeah. Maybe Chazal held that the fire was raging until chatzos, and after that it was subsiding. I don't know. Maybe there was a azamasara. I don't know. And therefore he says lachain afki kosher lahokel kozeh. The Bi Halacha says that logically speaking, right, if the Beis Hamikdash was still burning, then logically speaking, why shouldn't I keep the Dine Avelus? Yeah, but nevertheless, he says, but still, when there is a Shas HaDchak or a Doichek, then you can rely on the mechaber. He says, and therefore, for somebody, for instance,
take a step further, then you should fast. I mean, you've got
yeah, technically you should be fasting, and now you're not doing anything.
So are we saying that the fast is
a so what we're saying is today is still a sad day, and today is still the Beis Hamikdash is still burning, and we still have Dini Avelus, but because the Mechaber says Bosav Yain and doesn't mention other Isurim, right? Therefore, if there is a need to be Makel, the Poskim say, if there's a need to be Makel, then the Rav can be Makel. So somebody who's going away, for instance, I've got an Einikel who is going away this afternoon at 2 o'clock, yeah, and his washing won't have been done, his laundry won't have been done. So his mother had a heter to do already the laundry this morning, yeah? And it says, lachatzchile, if you can do the children's laundry, for young children, etc., etc. And the same thing would be somebody who made himself dirty, and in what's called, in the 9 days, he would be restricted, ponov yodov raglov, lukewarm water, etc., etc. But we're makel because of this mechaber, and if somebody would make themselves, soil themselves, or they'd be very, very sweaty for some reason or other, then they can take a normal bath. They don't need to do the 9 day restrictions today, even before chatos.
Start your day at the Turaway, Northwest London, Monday, Yud Ov, August the 4th, Rabbi Mendy Chizek Shlita, Ore Miklot, and the Kohen Godel. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Benny Grossman, Lil Nishmas, Rebbe Chaim, Yosef, Ben Yisocha, Doiv, Zichron Abrocha. The Ziyatzat is on Yud Gimel Av on Thursday. V'leschus HaShvoim, V'acha Yolim, V'amilchamo, Shechzu L'votayim L'sholom B'mheiro.
It was quite hard to decide what topic to give, what title to give. Speaking day after Tisha B'Av, so I want to talk about a topic which I think connects the parasha, the yoyim, the day, a theme and a message for all of us at the same time. There's a few psukim in this week's parasha that talk about the mitzvah Ori Miklot. So you'll say to yourselves, Ori Miklot, okay, it's Vais Chanan, what's got to do with Yud Av? Let's try and see as a hakdoma, the connection between where we are today near Miklot. At Shlishi of Eschana, we're told, Oz Yavdil Moshe separated, Sholish Orim Be'iva Yaudin, Mizrach HaShomesh, Moshe separated three Miklot, in Iva Yaudin. Shri Psukim later, V'zois HaToyga Shasal Moshe, Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, which we said this morning. What's the connection between this wonderful pasuk, which we know is sort of on our tips of our tongue, V'zois HaToyga Shasal Moshe, coming straight after Ori Miklot? The Raforshim, among them the Kliokos, say as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the three Ori Miklot that he was separating in Eved Ayadin had no power. Didn't act as cities of refuge, were not koilut, did not function. Kol's among the three nets roll were not open. Afal pi she'edon koiltus, either they didn't work until Moshe opened those were open eight nets roll, Kamar Makas. Nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu, amid to the comments of my hand, Akaimeno. Despite the fact that I know it's not going to work, I cannot delay from doing a mitzvah, I'm going to rush to do a mitzvah. That's Loshon Oz. Miyad also hu halocha l'maisa, Moshe acted straight away. And therefore, says the Torah, V'zois ha-Torah ha-Shasom Moshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael. Moshe taught us this concept of not delaying another mitzvah. Even though you think it doesn't have much opportunity at this time, nevertheless, b'chometz ha-Torah. Therefore, Moshe really taught us, V'zois ha-Torah, the Torah is not to delay mitzvahs and to rush into chapayayin, even if you don't think it's got any use at that time. So, Rabbeisai, we're starting a day after Tisha B'Av. We're probably weak, we're fasted, we're exhausted. As we know, we heard from Rabbi Yanki before, we're still in the time, but Mikdash would be burning, Yud Av, Meheri Yibonah HaMikdash. Nevertheless, the Yidim are here first thing in the morning, it's not even holiday time for starting to tear away. This is mamish what the Pasuk says, V'zois HaToyga, we learned a lesson from Eir Miklot. Another Ha'ori Rabbi Yisai. Rabbi Yanki Galinsky makes the point on Eir Miklot as follows. He says, the Gaon Gittin tells us that an Evet who kills has to go to Eir Miklot. And his master says, I'm not feeding you anymore. That's it, it's all over. The party's over, the game's over. You're on your own now. The Torah says, Vachai, he's got to live. Tell us, no, it's fine. He's got, he can earn enough to feed himself the basic lechem or mayim that he needs, lechem lechoim, or mayim lishto. It's that basics he can sort himself out for. More than that, he doesn't need to eat. More than that, he doesn't need. Vachoy is enough. The Torah says he's got to live there. Long as Shomar, the Torah says, Vachoy, he has to live. He can live with a bit of bread, a bit of drink he can have. It's fine. He can look after himself. But the very, that's the Gemara Gittin. The very same Gemara takes the same word in Makkas. The Gemara Makkas says complete the same word and twists it round. The Gemara says in Makkas as follows. You have a Yid Nebuch who's killed. He rushed to Miklot. The first thing he'll do is knock on the door of his Rosh Hashiva. Rebbe, come with me. Masha, come with you. There's enough yeshivas there. There's yeshivas, there's koilim, there's shurim there. I like your Derech HaLimud, I like your Savoras, I like your Hasbora, I like your She. Please come with me. Says the Gemara, he has to go. Because that's Vachoy, that's called living. Aboisa, we come after the day of Tisha B'Av, where we weren't able to learn Torah. Today, Aboisa, this She, the very fact we're here is a She, sign we're alive. Forget that we're hungry, we didn't eat, we didn't drink. Vachoy means, Lechem Lechol is enough. But that's not living. Living is Vachoy, having a life. And we are boisa, we are zoicha, and privileged to be giving a shir straight after Tisha B'Av, and we are zoicha to know what the meaning of life actually is. Vachoy. I want to ask you several questions on Emiklot and come up with, from Amore Chazal, and as I say, I'm saying nothing from my own today. If I do, be more chumi. I'm trying to say, poshut what Chazal tell us and poshut us on the dinner of Emiklot. First question is, why? We just quoted the Gemara, Kliyoka brings down the famous Gemara in Makkas, that unless all six miklot are functioning together, the three have no koyach. Why not? Moshe opened three, Be'eva Yaudein, and we're told that it doesn't work unless all six are working. Why should it be like that? Why not? He opened three, let three work. Okay, we learn from the Kliyoka, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us the message that even if they don't all work, it's still worth doing it. V'zeh Satoyga. Wonderful, but why not? Anyone tell me a reason why should the three not work in the midbar? Fine, you open three. There's another three that come in extra later. They don't work. But why not? Says the Meshachoch, my Rabbi Yisai. Again, a Dovon Niflam Oid. Meshachoch says something spectacular. He says a part of the vault. Who? Let's change the question. Let's ask another question to bring this about. Who was the Kohen Gadol at the time that Moshe opened the Ori Miklot? Who was the Kohen Gadol? Elazar HaKohen. Elazar. Who is going to divide the land in Eretz Yisrael?
Yeshua.
Good, and?
And Elazar.
So, any person who kills the Midbar at this juncture knows one interesting thing. He knows that what? He's guaranteed to be stuck there for a minimum of 14 years. He knows that Elazar is going to live in Eretz Yisrael 7 years of conquering the land, 7 years of dividing the land, minimum. Torah says in Masay, at Shishi, Elazar and Yeshua will divide the land. What would be the very first thing Eretziach does when he kills, runs to Miklot, after waking up his Rosh Hashiva saying, come with me? The first thing he'll do is say, Gabon Shalom, can you please take away the Kohen Gadol? I need the Kohen Gadol. He's got to go. He's got to die. And that's the twill on his lips. Please take his life. That's what he wants, because he wants to get out. The tefillah of the Ritzach is to take the life of the Kohen Gadol. That's what's on his lips, morning, noon, and night. He's waiting for his texts. He can't wait to get out. That's what he wants.
He's being fed very nicely by
the mother. We're going to come there soon. Hang on. I'm not asking you one bit, but we'll come there in a second. So, boys, I don't understand. He's desperate to get out. If Elaroy's coming and his twin is, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kohen Gadol, no, I've got to get out. A Yid has to live with a tefillah on his lips and his heart and his mind, I can get out. If we're basically saying to him, I guarantee you that for 14 more years you're not going out, what life does he have? What life does Yid have? A life without hope. Says the Mesh Chochma, it cannot work. The Ori Miklot cannot work. They had no function. No one had to run to Ori Miklot in the Midbar until all six were working. Because now you've got a matzav, a moment, you've got a time when you're guaranteeing the Kohen Gadol is going to live. Doshanesht. Can't happen, not fair, and wrong. I'm just going to add, we'll discuss this point anyway, a vort in from Parshas Masi, where the Torah there says that B'nai God B'nai Uven said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll go over to Eretz Yisrael, we'll fight, as you said. And in two psukim, one after the other, they change the Loshen. First, Kasha Adoni Metzave, as you command us. Troops of Kamrita, Kasha Adoni Doiver, as you told us. Literally, we'll go and fight, as you commanded, as you told. The change of Nusach, the repetition, it's all. The Pasuk saying, tell me something. Says the Mahagil Diskin, on this, based on the same idea, brilliant. Moshe Rabbeinu told over, and when a tzaddik says something, it's real. Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, go over and fight, and you're going to come back. Go and fight in Eretz Yisrael, God and Reuven. Help Yeshua Elazar divide the land, and then come back to take over ownership of your land in Eval Yarden. So they heard in that a brocha, Moshe's words are effectively a brocha. Effectively saying, if you go and fight, you'll be coming back. Go and fight, help divide the land, and come back. That's 14 more years of life, basically guaranteed, by Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth, the Pei Kodesh. So they first said to Moshe, we'll go over as you commanded. You told us to fight, we'll go and fight. But we're sending over lots and lots more people who don't think they've got much longer to live. All the old men are going over. Kasha Adoni Doivre, because you said they're going to come back to fight, as you told us, Kasha Adoni Mitzave. But besides that, we heard there's a brocha in your words. There's going to be 14 more years of life. So we're sending over anyone who's not sure who's going to live. This mother, they're going over, Kasha Adoni Doivre.
So we know it took 14 years. But at least. Predestined then, did they know it was going to take 14 years?
They understood that. Fakir, Magad, this is because they heard in Moshe's words. I don't know about 14 years. They knew from Moshe's words, if you go and fight, you're coming back. They knew there was going to be that. Therefore, they went over to fight happily because they were guaranteed more life, guaranteed 14 more years of life. Sorry?
No, I think
Madhuska says that no, we're going to fight. We're going to fight. Yeah, they went to fight. Yeah, Mashmah, they went over because why not? It's an extra.
They'd only have to be there for 7 years then.
Why?
The kibbush, not the chiluk.
Well, they come back. Okay, they knew they'd come back. hang on there. See, Abu Yisrael, we saw the Meshech Chochma, who says that you cannot have a Yid in a Miklot for the first years in a Midbar, because it would not work till all six were open. And therefore, the Vos is Meshech Chochma, the Nakuda is that somebody in a Miklot now would know, I've got to wait for Elazar Kohen to pass away, since he's going to Eretz Yisrael, and basically got no chance of leaving, and therefore a Miklot did not function. And that's how he says it.
That goes back to the previous war. I don't understand, because they didn't know it was going to be 14 years.
Yeah, but we knew this time. But then you must have. Then you had to go to Eretz Yisrael. They knew he can't die today.
So I'm talking about when which you just said that they could have the first three could have functioned, and they could have davened, and then maybe then.
No, but they.
Once they opened the ones in Eretz Yisrael, then
they knew Elazar was going to Eretz Yisrael. See, even next week, they know he can't die today. They knew Elazar was going to Eretz Yisrael dividing the land. Posik and Masi. So they knew as long as he's not in Eretz Yisrael dividing the land, he's alive. So they cut that Nebuch, the guy in the Miklot, has got no chance of getting out. Doshanish. The Meshech Chochma says, and there's no way he can live like that. But I'm going to jump, Kasha, you ask. I'm jumping to a Kasha, because it's a Gvaldik Kasha.
Does it mean you'll come back, everybody will come back?
Does it not
mean the majority will come back?
Moshe said it. I don't know. They took it literally. I'm going to ask a question, because I like your question. I'm going to discuss it today. Lots more to discuss. We've got a lot of way to go through Shea. But you asked the question. I have to ask it. Your voice said, Posha to Kasha. And the Kasha is I'm not sure my answer is good enough. But I saw the Kasha, and I've got to discuss it. Gemara tells us that Nebuch, this Ritzeach, sits in the Miklot. He's saying, Abush, I want to get out. I want to go out. Please. He's waiting his phone, his text. Please kill the Kohen Gadol. That's his Twitter. What happens? The mother of the Kohen Gadol comes along. We'll translate it into Yeshivish language. Leil Shishi. A chulent kegel and a cold coke. And he's happy. Well, it could be his wife's cooking wasn't that good in the first place. He's happy to stay there. But come on, Rabbi Yisai. You really understand that? What, one meal, what she brought him, 1 meal a week? I mean, she has to travel, even she's going around. She's got quite a few Miklot to travel around. She's not going to see him more than once a week, at her best. What's he going to get, a steak? Yeah? Now, I was once called up to give a shir, last minute. So they said to me, that speaker cancelled, please give a shir. Now, Rabbi, they said, we serve good food. So that doesn't swing it for me. I got there, and they served a piece of meat, and the guy says, Rabbi Chizik, he said, Gan Eden on a plate. So I said, if I come to Shemayim, and that's all I get offered, I'll feel very shortchanged. I said, call it meat on a plate, I don't mind. Say, Gan Eden on a plate, a little bit pushing it, a bit far. This man never wants to go home. He misses his wife, his children, his shul, his kindest friends, his work. But once a week at best, she's got six chomikot to go around. Traveling, at best, he's getting one meal a week. At best, I don't think it's that. He's got to cook for. How much cooking for? And then, he's a quiet. I tell you about it, b'dichusa. Last week, Beishaka grammar broke up. And before the year ends, we make the staff have what's called a staff supper. Don't call it a school dinner, because it's not good. Doesn't sound very good, school dinners. Call it staff supper. I don't eat that. I call it just the staff. I don't eat with the staff. So I said to the staff, I've got kasha. Staff don't really want to come to work. Well, they want to come to work in school, hard work. I said, the text says one supper once a year brings you back the next year. Yes. Mother Cohen God will see what they've done this time, the same sort of trick. As soon as that bit of food does do something. The answer, Rabbi Yisai, the Mefarshim say, is because a Twila be less with a full heart. Less will be a full heart. A Twila full heart gets up. The fact that she's giving him supper, of course he doesn't for the Cohen God to die. He'll feel a little bit guilty. Because the Maisa, his mother's giving him food. Of course he's doubling to Kongol to die. But it's 99.9%, not 100%. He feels bad to hurt the woman who's been kind to him. That's missing. The Twila with a full heart goes up. Avadi, he wants Kongol to die. Of course he's still doubling for that. But there's something missing. I can't really harm somebody. They say in English, don't bite the hand that feeds you. It's titanvi. It bothers him. And boy, said another kasha. We named it Ori Mikla and Kohen Gadol. We've got to hear. We've got to hear this kasha. Oh, we're getting okay. Hang on. Well, okay. One second. So the Gemara says the mother of Kohen Gadol brought him food. Here's a question for you: why dafka his mother? Why not himself? Kohen Gadol can't go himself and serve food and get out and help you. Kohen Gadol's mother dafka in my sense to Kohen Gadol. I saw the kasha last week for the first time. So I got phoned to give the shir today. I thought, I've got to discuss this. I saw it the first time last week. The Tiferes Sroli Mishnayos gives two answers. None as good as the question, but worth saying over. His first answer is, the Kohen Gadol can't get himself. It looks like he's frightened. It looks like he's scared. He can't go himself. I'm going to add on to that. Another Nakuda. That's Tversral's answer. I'm going to answer another Nakuda to that with another Meshchochma in Matus. Again, the kasha we're looking at is why Dafka the mother of the Kohen Gadol? Why not the Kohen Gadol himself? There are two answers. I've told you one, which I want to add on to. The first answer we told you just now is that the first Tversral who says, it looks like he's scared. Bismillah. Is a Mesh Chochma in Matois who doesn't discuss this, but he says something else. He discusses another Nakud will come to soon, another mission in Makkos, which tells us another important detail. You have Nebuch in Yemiklot HaRitzeach, who has killed B'Shoigug, and he is somebody who we need, Klal Yisrael in danger, we need a leader, a battle-hardened soldier who can lead us to battle, lead us in fight. I mean, he's in a miklot, he's killed by mistake, and we want him out. Says the Torah, he can't come out. Afilu Yisrael Tshichem Noi. We all need him. Says the Mishnah, Koyoyov ben Tzruya, who was, by the way, David's nephew. Tzruya was David's sister. Yoyov was a general in the army. Even if we would need him like Koyoyov ben Tzruya, he's not coming out. Okay. We'll come to Asuna Mitzshem. Pashtus, the reason is, I will work more on it in a minute. The reason Pashtus for that is that you were endangering his life. Nebuch, the poor Ritzeach, general of the army, take him out, potentially endangering his life. He'll be outside, and Ani Goel Adom has got access to him. He says, Mesh Chochma Matos, why? If that's the reason, let's protect him. Let's a ring of steel around him. Right, Trump's also got that. If we want this person out, because we need him to lead us into battle, and we're scared for his life, yeah? Then let's protect this general outside to make sure he can help us an army in Devila, keep him safe. Yeah? Says Mesh Chochma, that's not the reason. Again, Rabbi Yisai, Chiddush to me, because I always assumed that the reason is because we don't want to put the Ritzeach's life in danger by taking him outside of a miklot, he could be killed. Says the Meshachma, if that's the reason, we could protect him. It's not a big deal. Says the Meshachma, no, that's not the reason. The reason is because I don't want the Ritzeach. Those are my draft notes. Says the Meshech Chochma, the reason is something very different. The reason is Dov Pele Mo'id. No, he says Dov Nefel Mo'id. Says the Meshech Chochma, tell you Pshat, I don't want to say out. I'm scared he will by mistake kill the Kohen Gadol to get himself out. Meshech Chochma says that. I'm scared that he will find a way of tripping or causing the death of the Kohen Gadol so he could be free. I'm not trying to protect him anymore. I can look after Ritzeach. But Ritzeach is out. He may find some way, pretend to get near the Kohen Gadol, kill the Kohen Gadol, by mistake, obviously. And then... But Rabbeinu, if that's the case, if Nesh Chochma is concerned that he'll find a way or get somehow, some way, get Kohen Gadol killed, but if he's outside to free himself, it's a bit of a problem because it doesn't quite fit the halacha. But it's Nesh Chochma's shtickle toga. If that's the case, I've got the answer. The first one asked the Kasha, why does the mother of the Kohen Gadol go? Why not Kohen Gadol himself? Well, if I borrow that Meshech Chochma Matos, then I'm scared that the Ritzeach can't go out to Miklot because he'll go to Gadol. I've got the answer. I can't let the Kohen Gadol go into a Miklot. Enough people there might try and get the Kohen Gadol for him to go out. Yeah. So I can't let him go in.
Or somebody else could kill the Kohen Gadol.
Yeah. To get him out. Yeah, so that's why. Okay. That's my answer based on Meshech Chochma. But I want to add to Rabbeinu, the second answer he gives is Pella. Second answer of the first role is special. He says as follows. What would happen, Nebuch, if you have a Yid who's got no board and lodging, he's got no roof over his head, he's got no 3 meals a day, he's a hungry Yid, Nebuch. He's got nowhere to live and nothing to eat. He makes a cheshbon. I need to live. I need to eat. I need a roof over my head. So he goes to Eir Miklot, knocks on the door, and says, "I killed B'shoigug. Come in." If it's one Eir Miklot, he gets free board and lodging, not Ori Halavim that you pay. Come on, Maka says, "Actually, Miklot is free. He lives there for free. And once a week, he gets fancy supper. Kohen Gadol's mother comes along." With Shulam, Kegel, Coke, and Machaya. So he's better off than he was. So what's stopping Rabbeinu, this is the first one of Mahalach, it's Cheshbon. What's stopping a Yid having this horrible idea, I've got to go out, I want a normal life, I can't live like this, I'll go to the Miklot, I'll live there for free. Free house, free rent, free meals. What's the problem? What's stopping him?
It wouldn't be accidental.
He's killed no one. He's not killing anyone. He's pretending he's killed. He knocks on the door because he wants it. What's stopping him? He's hungry. So he's got free rent.
Can you go out?
If he wants, he says he's killed, he's locked up, he's in there. We can't let him out. But what? Zokta Tefer Sestrol. Come on, Rabbeinu, have you chapped him? He says, come on, Rabbeinu, come on. No. And the question was, why the mother of the Kohen Gadol? Why not the Kohen Gadol himself? He says, it's to stop that. Yeah, this is what he says. Yes, the mother of the Kohen Gadol is presumably older than the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, it's got to be like that, no? Kohen Gadol's mother's older than him. Or the Kohen Gadol. There'd be quite a few years after the death of the Kohen Gadol's mother till the Kohen Gadol dies. Agreed? A generation. Therefore, he'll be stuck for a whole generation without food. Not going to do it. If the Kohen Gadol himself brings food to him, then as long as he's locked up, he's got the rent, he's got the lodging, and he's got the food. If it's the mother of the Kohen Gadol, it's not worth it for him. Because he'll get food as long as she's alive. If she's, as you asked before, what's it got no mother? Yeah, he's not. It's to stop him having this horrible idea of getting himself locked up to get food and lodging. He'll only get the food because when the mother's alive. Once she dies, he's not got it anymore. To stop him doing that.
He doesn't live only on that one meal a week.
Let me say that.
He gets board and lodging the whole week anyway.
Yeah, no. Board, lodging, but I don't have food.
He gets free board and lodging.
Why? They give him a place to live. Food? He doesn't have to work with someone.
Yeah.
One meal a week, we're working out, we don't know.
The other thing is, says you don't go to an Emi Klot without a sack of a best.
Oh, see, okay, you're asking hands on the best. Okay, so yeah.
They'll catch
up quite quickly. Yeah. That's what's answer. That's what's answer. So if you do it, Dafka, the person should try and get. Yeah, I know. Okay, boys, side. Much more to discuss. We mentioned before a question which I borrowed to answer this question. The Mishnah says that a Ritzeach cannot go out of a Miklot, even if we all need him. He's not allowed out. And the reason which Pashtus is because we're putting his life in danger. The Meshchokma said another reason because it could be putting the Kohen Gadol's life in danger. The Meshchokma in Shemois brings this down in a different twist. There, he uses the reason that we would know. He says as follows. You have a case over there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, please, he said, go back to Mitzrayim and help Klal Yisrael go out. Why? Ki meisu ha'anoshim ha'mevakshim es nafshecha. The people who are after your life have died, and therefore it's safe to return. What's the problem? Well, let's go back in history. We know Moshe Rabbeinu fled from Mitzrayim and ran to Midyon, Shalim Midrashim. How many years? He was in Midyon for many years. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, had killed the Mitzri, and Dothan Aviram had threatened to go to Paro over this. Therefore, Moshe was scared, frightened for his life, so he ran away. Okay, sorted. Now we know that. Now Hashem says to Moshe, go back to Mitzrayim. He can't go back. Dothan Aviram are potentially still after him. Teretz is, Ki Mesu Ho'anoshim HaMevakshim Savshecho. They died. Now we know they haven't really died. So Chazal tell us, they lost their money. Without money, they've got no influence, no ability to speak, and they can't endanger his life to power and talk to power, because power won't listen to them anymore, because no money, no power. Yaboisai, says the Mesh Chochma. This, says the Mesh Chochma, is the Yesod of the Mishnah in Makkos. Pashtus, the reason is, where Ritzeach can't go out, is because you're putting his life in danger, while although I want this Ritzeach as a general leader, and can save all Klal Yisrael, very nice. To save all Klal Yisrael is wonderful, but it's putting his life in danger. You can't put your life in danger to save somebody else. I can't put my life into a Suffolk danger to save hundreds of thousands of other lives. Koyoy ben Tsruyo. The Ritzeach is needed out of a Miklot. But I can't take him out of a Miklot because very nice he'll save others. His own life's in Suffolk danger. So we say no. Says the Meshech Chochma in Shemois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, how can I ask you to go down to Mitzrayim and take Klal Yisrael out? It's not fair of me to ask you that. Lemaisa, we want you to save hundreds of thousands of Yidden, to save Klal Yisrael, Mitomas Mitzrayim. On the other hand, your life is potentially in danger because I'm asking you to help them, but what about you? Teretz is, Ki meisu ha'anoshim ha'mevakshim snafshecha. I can't ask you to do that unless I tell you in advance that there's no longer any influence on power and therefore I can let you go in. Because if a person's life is in Suffolk danger, he's not allowed to save, put his life into Suffolk to save others. Therefore, Hashem had to say that to Moshe Rabbeinu. A question, before I end off, a question, somebody asked this to me a few years ago. How could Mordechai HaTzadik expect Esther to enter Achashverosh's inner rooms and put her life in danger? Mordechai said to her, you got to go in, you got to go. You got to go and save. You got to go. She said, I can't. You know, someone's not called to the king's chambers. Achas Dosel Hormis. Levad, Me'ashayush, Amelech, Shavadov, Hechoyo. I can't go. I haven't been called in. He says, you've got to go in. What? Put her life in danger to save others? It's a question for you to think about. How was he expecting her to do that when it's clear in Halacha you're not expected to do that? And Hashem had to specifically be Matim Moshe to go in by saying that the danger of Moshe is not there anymore. Okay, there's a good answer for you to think about. Let me end in a Moigad Kavot. I saw last week a special vault, a very special vault. The only yahrzeit in the entire Torah is the Parshas Masi, Aaron HaKohen. There's got to be a reason why it's the only one mentioned. I saw a sefer called Nesiv Yosha from Yitzchok Avraham Horovitz. Wonderful Nakuda. We mentioned Purim now, so we'll finish off with Purim. Listen to this. Haman HaRosho wants to destroy Klal Yisrael. What does he do? He puts his hand in a bat. He puts it at the top of Kalfi, does the whole Goyrul, Mahalachav, he does the Goyrul, that's a Shefer Purim time, how he does the Goyrul. It's not as simple as putting a hand in a bag and picking up a name and number. It's not how the Mefarshim learn it. He gets Ador. Somach Simcha Gedoyla, I got Ador. Why is he happy? Ador is happy. Chodesh, Amaze by Moshe. Ah, Moshe lifted Ador, it's going to be a grand month. Says the Gemara, but it didn't work like that. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Memale, the years and days and months of Tzadikim. So it's very likely Moshe was niftan when he was born as well. Hashem gives him full years, and therefore Moshe was also born in Adar. Come on, huh? The month that you thought would be Nebuch, Evil, and Misbeid, Tzoyim of Chia Misbeid, went Miyogad L'Simcha, Me'evel Yom Tov, Me'afel Ro'er Godel. The month that he thought would be a month of despair and tragedy turned over to a month of Simcha and light for us. Says the Torah, I'll tell you the same thing again. We begin the month of Ov with Chom Beis HaMikdash, Yud Ov, the most terrible day in Klal Yisrael's history. Aaron HaKohen was nifted in Ov. Bear that in mind. He was nifted in Ov, very likely he was also born in Ov. And the month of Ov will turn over from not Memaat Mesimcha to Marb Mesimcha. We have another Purim, we have two Purims a year now. One in Ov, which will be a Purim, a month soon of Simcha and Sosin. And the month that has been a month of despair for us will go Meyogan and Simcha, Me'evel Yom Tov, or Me'afela Re'e Godel, Hashd, but not even tomorrow, today already. Amen.
So what, I don't understand. So why a Kurdish, what would say to Moshe Rabbeinu? They're all gone. They're not gone. What is
your
answer?
Moshe can't go in. As long as there's a danger, he can't.
Yeah,
go in.
No. So why? So why was it okay?
Because they're dead. They're not
powerful.
They're gone.
Who's gone? Paris still there. Dostavirim also there.
They lost their money. They lost their money. They couldn't speak to Moshe. They couldn't speak to Paris anymore. Meis or Loshen, they were dead financially. They couldn't write.
Abbas can
go in.
Very nice.
Also born of, no, just like Ador.
Fine, the death works.